Good morning. Welcome to Sunday School. We'll open with prayer. Father, this is the day that you've made for us. We're going to rejoice, be glad in it. You've told us, Father, to be still and know that you are God, and you'll be exalted among the heathen, and you'll be exalted in the earth. Father, we want our time together today to exalt you, to lift you up, to you could, because you are worthy, Father. So pray your spirit would be present here today. Teach us these things, that many of which are spiritually discerned, Father, and keep us from error. And we just want to give you the glory for all that's done here today. In Jesus' name and on his merits, Father, I pray it. Amen. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Could we turn the volume down just a little bit, please? Thank you. Begins this way: faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that teaches me that my faith is not based upon what I can see. It's not based on empirical evidence. Okay, it's prior to empirical evidence. It's based on a divine assurance. It's the substance of things hoped for. The hope is my confident expectation in the goodness of God and in the gospel, which means that I can be reconciled to a holy God for eternity. That's the substance of what I hope for. And it's the evidence of things that I don't see. It's the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, very well-known verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, what is the gift? It's not just being saved, it's also the faith that I have that allows me to be saved, right? So two things are the gift of God: the faith that affects the salvation, and the salvation itself. Faith has priority, okay? But my faith makes testable claims, okay? And we've been examining some of those claims in four basic areas. We've looked at the area of philosophy, how my faith can be tested. It makes claims in the area of philosophy and in history and in science and in culture. We've looked at those four areas. And over my Christian life, which spans now some 44, 45 years, as I've examined the claims, I found my faith to pass the test of those testable claims. My faith is confirmed by the empirical evidence, okay? The evidence is not the source, but it's the confirmation of my faith. And so as I've grown spiritually, my faith has become a confident faith in what? My feelings? My subjective understanding of Christianity? No. In the objective truth of Christianity. I've learned to take God at his word and find life there. And you know, I've also found peace and contentment. Psalm 119, I think it's 165, says this: great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In the offense there is cause them to stumble. You know, oftentimes the world and the world's philosophy and causes people to question, to wonder, is it really true what God says? And I've found great peace as I've gone through my Christian life. My faith has increased. It's become a confident faith. I have confidence, I have contentment, I have peace. Well, we've been looking at this concept of information and how it plays into the whole idea of the natural world, in particular biology. Some questions came up after last week's lesson, which makes me think we should review briefly this concept of information, what it is and how it applies to biology, before we rejoin the conversation in the video we've been looking at. So I've changed the video a little. This is based on suggestions at the last couple of Wednesday prayer meetings, one by Jason and then one independently by Melissa. So let's just walk through this again. Here are 24 random characters, okay? They're random, it's complex, it's low entropy. In fact, I calculated what the probability of shuffling 24 random characters, pulling them out of a hat and getting this order, and it's about one chance in 5 times 10 to the 20th. So it's really low probability, okay? Okay, really high entropy. But look, it's complex, low entropy, that has no meaning. There's no meaning there. So there's information in a mathematical sense, but there's no meaning. Here's those same 24 characters shuffled again and brought out in a different order. This is now specified, although perhaps we don't understand the specified pattern. It's complex, it's got low entropy, it's got exactly the same entropy as the first one, okay? Does it have meaning? Well, does it have meaning to anybody here? Give you just a minute to look at it. Okay, very good. So, Hunter knows a little bit of Latin. What's the specified pattern of this phrase right here? The pattern is Latin, and this is Latin for "in the beginning was the Word." What's that? Okay, so "in the beginning was the Word." So now it has meaning because we know the pattern that it's specified to, right? And now it's useful. Let's look at the same thing now in biology, okay? So, let's see this one here. Good. We looked at this slide last week just as an overall picture of, we're trying to get at information in biology. So, wrong way. Got to get the right buttons. Here's the person made up of cells. The cell has a nucleus in which are the chromosomes, which consist of the DNA. A segment of DNA is called a gene. The nucleotides are the letters that contain the information in the genome. We're talking about information, right? What happens? This is a this is a slide from the American Cancer Society, I think. So this is the nucleus right here. Here's the DNA. Here's a section of DNA called a gene. And by a process of transcription, the DNA is converted into RNA, which leaves the nucleus and comes out here and enters this thing called a ribosome. All these details are not important. What's important is the order of the letters in the RNA determine the order of the amino acids in the protein, okay? And what's the specification? The specification is the functionality of the protein. Not just any order will work. It has to be an order that provides function, okay? Just like in this one, not just any order will work. It has to be an order that is specified to a pre-existing pattern. In this case, Latin. In this case, the function of this protein. It may be just a protein that is structural, like a bone. Or it may be something much more complex. This guy right here, this ribosome, that's actually a protein, okay? Made up of about 7,400 amino acids that are all in the same order, in a specified order, and only that order will work. This is information from a biological sense, okay? Now, what's the chance that this protein could arise through a random ordered set of letters, nucleotide letters, okay? What's the chance? A fellow named Doug Axe has studied this, and he's come to the conclusion that the chance that a functional protein, the end result here, this long chain of amino acids, information, it's a long chain of symbols that actually have meaning, right? In this case, it's a long chain of amino acids which actually have function. He's calculated that the chance that happening, the frequency of meaningful sequences of amino acids is 1 in 10 to the 77th power. Okay? This was 1 in 10 or 5 in 10 to the 20th. So a much, much lower probability for the biological case, okay? We have to account for that. And how do we account for it? The function, I keep pushing the wrong button. There we go. The function of the protein external to the order of the nucleotide bases, the letters, determines the information, the meaning of the sequence, okay? So that's the significance of biological information. It cannot arise by chance. It arises by a functional requirement which pre-exists, okay? Just like the specified pattern of Latin gives meaning to a string of characters, and that specified pattern pre-exists the string of characters, okay? So the order is important. Now, last week we began to sit in on a conversation, an interview Peter Robinson was conducting with Stephen Meyer, John Lennox, and Michael Behe, three very distinguished scientists. Well, Lennox isn't a scientist, he's a mathematician, and there's a difference. Behe's a biologist, a chemist, and Meyer has got a PhD in the philosophy of science. And they're discussing the things that we have gone over the last 10 weeks and in previous summers as well. They come at it from a different perspective. They add some insights that we haven't talked about before. And they give repetition, which helps these things sink in. This is really important stuff, okay? So we're going to join their conversation once again for about 30 minutes. Hold your questions because we'll have an opportunity to discuss them perhaps when it's over, and certainly then on Wednesday. So we'll now begin the video, please. How did it happen? What's the cause? Had this conversation with Jason Wednesday. And is the cause materialistic? Is it a mechanism? Or is it a mind? And we'll look more into that in the next couple of lessons. The priority of mind over material. You know, we talked about Isaac Newton, probably the greatest scientist who ever lived. And here was the conclusion he came to. I'm reading from Principia, Book 3, written in 1687. This most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent being, the mind, right? The counsel and dominion of an intelligent being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as the Lord over all. And on account of his dominion, he is wont to be called Lord God. So, which is primary, mind or matter? Well, John 1:1 says it's mind, right? In the beginning was the Word. Hunter can give it to us in Latin, I think. We'll look more into the mind. And if it's separate from the brain, you might have picked up in their conversation where Lennox was challenging his scientific colleagues. By the way, his scientific colleagues were all scientists at Oxford University, right? As to what they use in their studies. And first they said, they were going to say mind, but then they stepped back and said, oh no, brain. Because the concept of the mind brings in something immaterial. And we need to take a closer look at that in upcoming lessons. So we will do that. If you have questions, hey, come Wednesday night. We'll chat about those. Sam, close us in prayer.